And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, saying, "Come and see."
Noise of Thunder Radio with Christian J. Pinto.
Okay, praise the Lord, you guys, and welcome. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today on the show, we are going to talk about more Muslims in Congress, more Muslims in the U.S. Congress, and what could this mean going forward? There's a number of things happening in the country where Islam is concerned, and we've got a number of websites out there. You've got Jihad Watch. You have Creeping Sharia. That's another interesting website. That I remember the whole idea of Creeping Sharia is that Sharia law is slowly, steadily, one step at a time, creeping into the countries of Western civilization, and America is no exception. And now we're seeing here with this midterm election that was one of the most controversial that I can remember ever in my lifetime in our country. Very, very controversial. But now you have two Muslim women, Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib. Ilhan Omar, who defeated Republican Jennifer Zielinski, and she is replacing Democratic Representative Keith Ellison, who was the first Muslim who was actually elected to Congress. He has gone on to win the race for state attorney general. And then you have Rashida Tlaib, who was elected in Michigan. Now, of course, we know that Dearborn, Michigan is a headquarters for Islam in America. If you go online and just watch some of the video of what goes on in Dearborn, Michigan, you would think you were in a third world country. You would think you were not living any longer in the United States. But all of this is the progression of something that has been unfolding for decades in our country. If you go back to the 1990s when Steve Emerson produced his documentary, Jihad in America, also based on his book. But if you watch his documentary, he shows a number of places in the country where you have Muslims wearing their traditional garments, dancing around to Islamic music, and the whole scene looks like something that is happening in the Middle East, but in fact, it's happening in many of the heartland territories of America. Happening in a covert manner, even back then, even back in the 1990s, it was happening. And Emerson was one of the first journalists that I know about to expose this. And he exposed it years before 9/11 happened, before the 9/11 attack. And of course, he was warning that something like this was imminent because they're allowing people who have a very radical anti-Christian, anti-Jewish view of the world to come into our country and to set up shop and to use our liberty as a vehicle to advance their agenda, the global jihad. And it's been said for years that the Muslims come here and they have these tax-exempt organizations that are presumably charitable in some way, and it is often reported that they use these organizations to funnel money, to gather taxpayer, tax-free money in our country, and then use it to finance jihad around the world. Well, we had Keith Ellison, who became a congressman. He was the first official Muslim congressman. And then you had, with the 114th Congress, no sooner do you have a Muslim in Congress than one of the first things that he wants to do is trying to introduce the elements of Sharia law. And this goes back to 2015 and 16, when in December, the House of Representatives, or the Democrats in the House of Representatives, we should say, set forth House Resolution 569. House Resolution 569. And if you don't know this, brethren, you should go and look it up. It's very, very important, especially because of what's just happened here at the midterms. 114th Congress, first session, House Resolution 569. The purpose of the resolution was for, quote, condemning violence, bigotry, and hateful rhetoric towards Muslims in the United States. That's the purpose of the resolution. And it says, condemning violence, bigotry, and hateful rhetoric towards Muslims in the United States, whereas the victims of anti-Muslim hate crimes and rhetoric have faced physical, verbal, and emotional abuse because they were Muslim or believed to be Muslim, whereas the constitutional right to freedom of religious practice is a cherished United States value, and violence or hate speech toward any United States community based on faith is in contravention of the nation's founding principles, whereas there are millions of Muslims in the United States, a community made up of many diverse beliefs and cultures, and both immigrants and native-born citizens, whereas this Muslim community is recognized as having made innumerable contributions to the cultural and economic fabric and well-being of United States society. Now that, I really don't know how they justify that line. That is just incredible. But then it goes on and it says, quote, whereas hateful and intolerant acts against Muslims are contrary to the United States values of acceptance, welcoming, and fellowship with those of all faiths, beliefs, and cultures. Now, and then it goes on, just goes on and on and on. It says, now, therefore, be it resolved that the House of Representatives expresses its condolences for the victims of anti-Muslim hate crimes. Of course, there's no mention of the fact that many of these hate crimes are fake, which is well documented. And I've talked about it before, the website Wiki Islam, they list all of these fake hate crimes there that the Muslims have claimed they were subjected to a hate crime, and then it turned out to be false, turned out to be a lie. And the left right now, we're watching what's going on in the post-election environment where the left is going in, and they're like down in Florida where they've got this woman down there who has been repeatedly accused of election fraud. Apparently, there's been a judge who's acknowledged that she has rigged elections or corrupted the votes in the past and this kind of thing. And they're still allowing her to do this kind of thing, and there's no one to intervene on behalf of the American people. No one seems to be intervening and saying, hey, wait a second, I'm listening to people say a judge discovered or declared that this woman had tampered with votes. Well, why is she still doing that job? Why is anybody letting her perform that function there in Florida? And yet they just allow it to go on. There seems to be little or no accountability. And here, this H.R. 569, I mean, the Democrats who signed off on this should have all been impeached or removed from office for such a blatant violation of the First Amendment. And they say condemning hateful rhetoric towards Muslims in the United States. What about hateful rhetoric towards Christians? What about hateful rhetoric towards conservatives? Of course, if they had passed a law like that, they know that half the Democratic Party, half of Hollywood and so on, and their supporters would all have to go to jail if there were a law. But this, what they're doing, this is proof that they are trying to use. Now, they've not been successful to get this passed. This was blocked because Republicans were still a majority there in the House, and they could prevent this from happening. But now that the Democrats have taken back the House, whether Nancy Pelosi becomes a speaker or not, now you have these two Muslim females there who are very traditional Muslims, Rashida Tlaib, you know, in fact, we're going to listen to a clip here of a journalist on Democracy Now! Introducing her. And of course, they talk about how this is some great historic advance for America or the world or something, that we have Muslims in our Congress now. Why do we need any Muslims in our Congress? They shouldn't be in our Congress. They don't believe our Constitution. They don't believe our way of life. They're really not qualified to run for office. And yet we're allowing this to happen. And it's very dangerous, brethren, because They have a completely different worldview as we know. But here, listen to a brief clip. This is from the news program called Democracy Now. Listen.
This is Democracy Now. I'm Amy Goodman. On Tuesday evening, Palestinian American Rashida Tlaib in Michigan and Somali American Ilhan Omar in Minnesota became the first Muslim women elected to Congress. Rashida Tlaib is a democratic socialist who supports the Palestinian right of return and a one-state solution. She also supports Medicare for all, a $15 minimum wage, and abolishing ICE. The child of immigrants, Tlaib has spoken out against the Trump administration's travel bans. This is Rashida Tlaib celebrating her historic victory.
Russia! 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 I went to a show with my mom, who's from a small village in the West Bank. They're literally glued. It's like 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock in the morning. And now it's more than that. But they're glued to the TV. My grandmother, my aunts, my uncles in Palestine are sitting by and watching their granddaughters.
Yes. Okay. Now, yes, all of that sounds very, just very endearing that the Palestinians are sitting over there cheering and clapping and all this other kind of stuff. The problem is the Palestinians, you see, if this were people in Poland or in Czechoslovakia or the Czech Republic or people, you know, in some other part of the world, in Switzerland or Sweden or something, it would be very different because we have a common value system with people from these different countries. But we simply do not have a common value system with Palestinian Muslims at all. The Palestinian Muslims, one of the first Christian documentaries I ever edited and that I worked on, I was the editor on a documentary called The New Barbarians, Training Children to Kill. And I watched hours and hours of raw footage of Islamic teaching of their kids from a very, very early age, especially in Palestine, where they are teaching them to hate Jews and Christians and to have the ambition to kill them. That is their ambition from a very early age. They are taught this hatred, especially for the Jewish people, but for Christians as well. And to allow a Palestinian Muslim into our country to run for office is completely insane and should never have happened. Should never have happened. Our laws, really, the Constitution, if the original Constitution and the Declaration and the original understanding of it were upheld, she would not be able to run for office. None of these socialists or Muslims would be allowed to run for office if we were still operating according to the original understanding of constitutional freedom and what those boundaries are. But they've abandoned all of that. The courts have abandoned it. The post-World War II judges have declared that it's unconstitutional to forbid people who have hostile and dangerous worldviews from getting into our system and being given political power. That's very dangerous for our country going forward. But notice, she's a democratic socialist who believes in a one-state solution with Israel. What does that mean? Well, obviously, it means wipe Israel off the map, as they have been singing in their schools for years. You get rid of Israel entirely and hand over the entire region to the Palestinian Muslims. That is what they want. All right, let's go to our commercial break. We will talk more when we come back. Right after this.
Christian Film Ministry, Adalam Films presents A Lamp in the Dark, the untold history of the Bible. Enter into a world of saints and martyrs battling spies, assassins, and wolves in sheep's clothing. A Lamp in the Dark unfolds the fascinating history, the Bible, and the lives of the saints who fought to preserve it. This exciting look into the times of valiant men of faith, such as John Wycliffe, William Tyndale, and Martin Luther, is a must-see for any follower of Christ. Filled with rich visual graphics and dramatic reenactments, A Lamp in the Dark is an epic documentary, a powerful powerful witnessing tool for church and Bible study groups around the world. Share with your church, your family, and friends the untold history of the Bible today.
Hello, I'm Brandon House. In April of 2013, I found a Mountain House distributor and ordered some freeze-dried food for my family because I had become concerned about what was happening in America, our lack of national security, the threat to our power grid. I also knew, living in Memphis on the New Madrin Fault, that there is the possibility of an earthquake. I also know that ice storms can cause the power to go out here, not to mention the threat of terrorism. There were many reasons. So I contacted the company Mountain House and asked if I could become a distributor of their product. I had some of their food when I was in high school on a couple camping trips, and it's really good. But now Worldview Weekend has been approved to be a distributor for Mountain House. And if you're interested, you can now go into the bookstore at worldviewweekend.com/bookstore and check out some of the freeze-dried food that you can order. We have one pack that's available. It's a bucket of food, breakfast, lunch, and dinner for 14 days for one person. Figure out how many are in your family. Figure out how many days you want to have food ready to be put into boiling hot water and have a good meal, and make your order. Now, again, you can order it from someone else, but if you order it from Worldview Weekend, we're not going to charge any shipping and handling. Free shipping and handling. Secondly, it's another way for us to generate revenue to underwrite the expenses of running Worldview Weekend, our radio and television ministry, and our free conference ministry. For more details, just simply visit our bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore.
Noise of Thunder Radio.
Okay, we are back. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Thanks for staying with the show today. We are talking about the new Muslims in Congress. Two female Muslims have been elected now in this historic victory. And how does one of them, the Democrat Rashida Tlaib, how does she celebrate? She dances with a Palestinian flag at her victory party, surrounded by what appears to be her fellow Muslims, shouting and clapping and cheering and this kind of thing. Now, remember, it's going to be very interesting to see what's going to happen. Keith Ellison, the first Muslim elected to Congress, and one of the first things he tries to do is to instigate the groundwork for Sharia law, to punish people who would insult or use hateful rhetoric, as they said, toward Muslims in America. They're doing the same thing in Canada. In Canada, they had M103 up there, where it is a motion that condemns Islamophobia. That's the key. Remember, the Jesuits are teaching the lie of Islamophobia at Georgetown University. They have a whole program there. They're taking millions of dollars a year, reportedly, from Saudi Arabia. They're taking all this money, and they are operating a whole system there, dedicated to brainwashing people with these ideas of so-called Islamophobia. So-called Islamophobia, which is, there's no problem with Islam. The entire problem is in your head as a Christian and as an American to think that there's anything wrong with Islam. It's your problem. It's not their problem. And then what? Well, because you have this Islamophobia, and it endangers the Muslims, your Islamophobia, therefore, laws need to be passed to protect the Muslims from you. So you need to be punished if anybody hears you saying anything against Islam. That's the direction that they're headed with this. And now what they've done up in Canada, M103 condemns Islamophobia. Then after they pass that, a short time later, they had the Toronto school system defined Islamophobia in part as anyone who has a negative view of Islamic politics. Remember this. It's so pointed and so obvious the direction they're headed with all of this. I talked about on a recent program how the European Commission over there, now in Europe, they're just openly declaring that the Prophet Muhammad cannot be insulted. If the Prophet Muhammad is insulted, that person, whoever does the insult, must be punished. They are advancing Sharia law. And what we're watching happen in Europe, in Canada, what has tried to happen here in America, we're still in a position, I think, where we can do something about this in the United States. We can still resist it. We can still put a stop to it. We're not as far down the road as they are in Europe. They're in a bad situation in Europe. They're moving into a worse situation in Canada. In fact, here is a, I'm going to play part of a video clip that someone posted on our Facebook feed. And I thought this was pretty powerful because it shows what is going on in Canada, where you had, I believe it's Faith Goldie in this video, who is, and another journalist, two Canadian journalists who are confronting Muslims.
Why are you banning Jewish people from your event? Why are you banning Jews from the event? You advertise the event. It says right here, Carry the Light Annual Convention, Sunday, October 7th, and it says that it's open to the public. You said it's free. So
you didn't say that Christians and Jews aren't welcome.
So Christians and Jews aren't welcome to your event? Muslims only?
Only Muslims.
Why only Muslims?
Do you want me to talk about this outside?
No, we can't talk about this outside because you know what? They advertise this event as a free.
Do not take my picture. I am not authorizing you. It's against
you
the law.
It's against the law to discriminate against religious grounds, sir.
That's against the law, sir.
Right. And what's
I have a right
is?
To call.
Call who?
The police.
The police are here. Are you going to call the Sharia police?
Yes.
Who are you going to call?
Okay. These girls who are both journalists. And they are very, very tough. They're very strong. And they go right in there. And you heard one of them say, who are you going to call? The Sharia police? Why? Because there's two regular police officers. This was apparently happening in Toronto, Canada. And the Muslims had advertised some event called Carry the Light Convention, said it's open to the public. It's a public event, etc. And then when people get there, they're told that Christians and Jews are not allowed in the convention, only Muslims. Only Muslims are granted entry. Now, this is the very antithesis of what the left is telling everybody and what they're doing, brethren. I mean, you know, we know this. If you listen to my program for any length of time at all, you should know what's going on. This is the Jesuit deception from the 17th century. This is their doctrine of universal toleration, where we're going to tolerate everybody, supposedly. This is what is deceiving and subverting Western civilization. The idea of universal toleration, we're going to receive everybody. Nobody's going to be barred from access to power and society because of what they believe. But as J.A. Wiley told us back in the 19th century, that this was a treacherous doctrine engineered by the Jesuits. And that what they did was they would set up and call for this general toleration so they could get their foot in the door. But once they get into a position of power and authority and they set up the system that they want, then he says they chase tolerance out the door and have nothing to do with it. The whole tolerance scam is a design. It's a Jesuitical design. They have now put this into the entire Marxist movement, which they developed back in the 19th century. And so now the Marxists employ this whole toleration thing so they can get themselves and their subversive allies into positions of power. And then they turn around and they say, okay, now we're in charge. We're not going to have any tolerance for you. Now we want all the Christians and all the people who believe things we don't agree with out the door. And that's what we're seeing here in Canada. They want to talk about, oh, let's be tolerant of everyone. Everyone has to be welcome. We can't be uninclusive of anybody. No discrimination, supposedly. Unless, of course, and of course, they're going to defend. You watch. They will end up defending the Muslim right to discriminate. Because that will be seen as, well, that's equality. We have to give the Muslims, we have to respect their traditions because they deserve equal respect for their tradition. Then you'll say, well, but it's not equal because Christians are not allowed to discriminate. Well, that's because if Christians discriminate, that would be bigotry, and we can't allow that. So, but when Muslims discriminate, that's equality, and we have to allow that. This is how it works. It's all just a mind game. It's all a deception. It's a lie. And this is why I believe we need to recover our original Christian history, brethren, and understand the original definition of toleration that was developed by our Christian forefathers. But you don't extend tolerance to any group that has doctrines that are dangerous and subversive to society. You just do not give them toleration. That is what all of our forefathers believed, and their writings tell us over and over and over again not to extend toleration to subversive groups. In fact, the Edict of Toleration that was set forth by King James II, that was the actual document that sparked the Glorious Revolution of 1688 and compelled the Protestants to drive him out of the country and to bring in William and Mary so they could reclaim their national heritage, which they did. I personally think the Glorious Revolution should be more carefully studied by Christian leaders and by our political leaders, and because we're in the same position in many ways. And we should be looking to the pages of history and what our forefathers did, things that they did that were effective and protected freedom. All right, brethren, we are out of time. That is going to do it for us today. That is our show. We'll stop it there. But we will be back next time as the Lord leads us. Until then, God bless you guys. I'm Chris Pinto, and you've been listening to Noise of Thunder Radio.